Let's dive into the Word of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As you know, we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, through the Word of God. We find ourselves in the Gospel of Luke on Sundays and the book of Exodus on Wednesday. And Father, thank you so much for giving us your precious word. We pray that you would speak into our hearts and to our lives. Lord, we need to have a word from you this morning. So speak into our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. The title of this message is Stressed Out. Stressed Out. Now, I know just looking at you, you say, yeah, I'm stressed. I'm really stressed out. Well, there was a survey that was done of women who had a career and family, which means a husband, children, parents, and in-laws, that 75% of them were unhappy, stressed out, and burned out. Now, just in case the men get it twisted, the survey for the men, it was no different. So it is safe to say that people today are stressed out. Today we're going to look at the lives of two sisters, Mary and Martha, and through them we will see the signs of being stressed out and we will see the cure. And this is good for us to study because a lot of people came here. Your whole week, your whole month has been stressed out. And you're burned out and you want to know what to do about it before you hurt somebody or you hurt yourself. Hey, we're going to look at these things here. Look at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now here we see two sisters. We introduced to Martha. We will see Mary in the next verse. Having Jesus come to their home. Notice how it says that they welcomed him into their house. Let me ask you this. Is Jesus welcomed in your home? Now, I know you will initially say, yeah. Well, I had people first service say, oh, yeah, you know, he's welcome. Yeah, okay. That I know your initial response is yes. But will Jesus feel welcomed by what goes on in your home? Will he be welcomed by the music that you listen to, the TV shows that you watch, how you interact with each other in the home? Or would Jesus feel uncomfortable by the language you use to talk to each other or the sexual content of the TV shows you watch or the computer sites you visit? Sure, we can say Jesus is welcomed in our homes, but the real question is, will he feel welcomed or will he feel uncomfortable? These sisters, they welcome Jesus in their home. Look at verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus's feet and heard his word. Now, one of the things we constantly hear about this story is how Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and how she was a worshiper. Now, this is true. But this verse says that Martha also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word as well. My point is this, let us not assume that Martha wasn't a worshiper because she was. And she had a problem that all of us can have as well. And we see this in verse 40. Look what it says. But Martha was distracted with much serving and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now, notice how it says that she was distracted with much serving. Martha worshiped, but she got distracted. And notice how she was distracted with things that were good, something that wasn't necessarily bad. She was distracting, it says, with much serving. Martha was preparing dinner. She was serving Jesus, as we see, with anger, bitterness towards her sister. And this led her to being stressed out. We're about to look at four signs that you are stressed out as well. Number one is self-pity. self-pity. Martha felt sorry for herself. She says, "Do you not care that she has left me to serve alone?" Are you drowning in self-pity today? Do you feel sorry for yourself? Do you feel like your family has left you to serve alone around this house? If so, this is a sign that you're stressed out. That's just the first one. The second sign that you're stressed out, that shows that you're stressed, is number two, anger. Martha got angry with her sister. She said at the end of verse 40, "Tell her to help me. Husband, tell these kids to help me around this house." Angry with your husband that he isn't helping. Angry with the children because they aren't helping either. Or angry because that husband left you with the kids. A sign that you're stressed out is anger. And everyone walking on eggshells around the house because any minute, volcano, put your name there, volcano Martha is about to erupt. Let me ask you this. Are you angry today like Martha? Whether you believe it or not, you wear it on your face. You wear it on your countenance. As you look around the house at your husband, feet kicked up, watching TV with the remote in his hand, the children are doing homework or playing video games or talking on the cell phone, when you see that, do you get angrier and angrier at them as you, that eye squint? You see him, you know, feet up, twinkling his toes, watching TV, and you just look at him there, you know. And the kids are, you know, talking to friends over a friend's house. And all of a sudden, you left to do all this stuff. And all of a sudden, resentment is filling your heart. This is a sign that you're stressed out. The third sign that you're stressed out is number three, you begin to question Jesus. You begin to question Jesus. Martha said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" The third sign of being stressed out is a big one because now you're questioning God's love for you. Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And all of a sudden you begin to question God's love for you. And you're getting angrier and angrier towards God. And then all of a sudden you will slack in your reading and praying. Because who wants to learn more about a God who treats his children this way? And you definitely don't want to pray. Who wants to talk to a God that treats his kids this way? Therefore, anger fills your heart. All of this comes as a result of being distracted, stressed out, and burned out. Notice that it says that Martha, she worshiped, but she got distracted. What is distracting you today? For Martha, it was a good and necessary thing. She was cooking. She was doing stuff around the house. She was serving. But this kind of service had distracted her from worshiping God. What is distracting you from worshiping God? Too much computer? Facebooking and all that sort of stuff? Well, I'm going to the restroom. Hashtag laugh out loud, you know. I just came out of the bathroom. Hashtag I'm happy now. And we gotta let everybody know everything we doing, like we really care about everything that you're doing. But you think that we care. As has been said, it's even the movie, books. We just not that into you. I just hate to tell you that. But you think you are. And so often too much computer can distract. Is it too much partying? What is distracting you? Too much partying? The pursuit of money? These can distract us. These things can distract us from the one thing needed that Jesus is about to tell Martha in verses 41 and 42. But before we get there, there are a lot of people in church who feel just like Martha. And you find yourself bitter and angry at people saying to God, "Don't you care I'm serving at this church alone? I'm doing everything it seems like." tell them at that church to help me in this children's ministry. I'll pick up these people in this transportation ministry. Look at them over there, just sitting there. They come and soak up the word, and then they leave and go home. And when I leave here, I got to go back there with these bad kids. And just angry, bitter, dying back here with these kids. Look at what Jesus tells Martha and those of you who are just like Martha in verses 41 and 42. Look what he says there. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Let me just say this. When the Lord calls your name twice, Abraham, Abraham, Saul, Saul, Samuel, Samuel, Martha, Martha, Simon, Simon. When he calls your name a couple of times, just know he's about to tell you something very important. He said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. This is the fourth sign that you're stressed out. It's number four, you're worried and troubled. What are you worried and troubled about today that's distracting you from the one thing needed, and that is sitting at the feet of Jesus? Are you worried and troubled about your children? Oh, wives, you all should raise your hand on this. You're constantly worried and troubled about your children. We as men, we're like, ah, let them go out and figure it out. You know, let them figure that thing out. No, but he didn't eat today. And so I need to send at least $500 so he can eat. $500. Maybe $5 to go give him a value meal. But you know, he gotta have, and he didn't. Oh, and worried he didn't. Oh, did you see him? He looked so skinny. Oh my good. Let him figure it out. Especially for boys. Let him figure it out. If he get hungry enough, he go out and get a job. Soon that something, that belly button starts touching his back, it'll drive him to go get one. Go get a job. He flip a burger, do some fries, or say, you know, my pleasure. Or, hey, I'm telling you. It'll drive him out there. And so many, you're worried and troubled about many things. Many, you're worried and troubled about the children. You'd feel, if you don't go to every baseball game, every football game, every basketball game or soccer game or recital or cheerleading contest, if you don't go to everyone, you're considered a bad parent. And you're worried and troubled because you will be considered a bad parent. No, you should be worried and troubled if you don't teach them how to sit at the feet of Jesus. Because let's just say that your child is one of the lucky ones and make it all the way to the top in the profession, in their profession, whatever it is. Baseball, basketball, football. When I say they make it to the pro, that's say they make it there. But if they get there and don't know Jesus, what did you do to them? Oh, because see, Satan knows how to get you. He makes sure it's all the games and practices on Sundays and Wednesdays and to keep you and your child out of church. And sure enough, he gets you and say, oh, you're a bad parent if you don't take them. You got to make sure, because they may be one of the lucky ones to make it to the top. But let's say they are. And you call them up. Son, in your $1 million house, because you're making millions. Have you been to church? No. Don't be shocked, because you taught them growing up that their sport was more important than Jesus. You taught them. You said, oh, I didn't teach them that. Oh, yes, you did, through your actions. Sure, you told them to go to church. Sure, you said God is first and all that sort of stuff. But through your actions and through what was going on in the home, that sport was first. Everything was first. And then they said, oh, you need to be in AAU. You need to be on the traveling team. And that's always on the weekends. And so you got to go. You cry broke, but when it comes to AAU, all the hundreds of dollars come from somewhere. And you give it to them, and they go. And then they don't want nothing to do with God. And you call them up and say, baby, I've been praying for you. Have you found a church yet? And like, no. What, honey, I raised you going to church. Did you? Oh, I remember for about 8 years straight, they tried to get my son to play AAU. And I said, no, I said, because AU is on the weekends. And in my house, we go to church. Oh, there was a couple of times he played that the coach happened to come to our church. So it was okay. That was just a couple of times he played. I'm not against sport. My son played them. My kids played them. And my son was halfway decent. But I knew my son wasn't going to make it all the way to the pros. I knew that. He was good. First of all, he sawed off. He got that from his mother. He sawed off. So we knew he wasn't going to make it because he was sawed off, for one. He's just short. Right now, he goes to Liberty University, playing for the little campus team, intramurals, averaging almost 40 points a game. It's not like the scouts are there. We want him. No, he's sawed off. He's not going to make it. He's not. So I wasn't trying to live through my son and say, hey, I gotta, maybe he can make it like I didn't. And so let me, no, I'm not worried and troubled. I wasn't worried and troubled about those things. Oh, are you a bad parent? You didn't let your son play AAU. No. And I'm not a bad parent either. But I guarantee you one thing my son will be able to say. No, it was about Jesus at our house. It was about the Lord. And I didn't talk about the Lord, but practically did something different. I didn't do that. And so for those of you who are worried and troubled about your children, don't worry and trouble. Just understand, make sure you teach them to sit at the feet of Jesus. Make sure you teach them that God is first. Make sure you show them that through your own life as well. Many of you are worried and troubled about your job. And I'm telling you, Satan is crafty. The Bible says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. So if we are ignorant of his devices, Satan can take advantage of us. Why do you think that they want you to work overtime on Wednesdays and Sundays? Oh, Wednesday night. No. You know, I was wanting to go to church, but no. We really need you tonight to stay extra. I can stay over tomorrow night and the next. No, we ain't gonna need you those nights. We need you tonight. What do you think? On top of that, can you come Sunday? Don't think it's strange. Don't think that it's, and all of a sudden you see dollar signs. And then all of a sudden, okay, I'll be there. Worried and troubled. See, if you don't know how to sit at the feet of Jesus, and you get distracted by your career, by children, by all these other things. You get distracted by your career and your job. What will happen if you don't know how to sit at the feet of Jesus? When something happens to your job, then you'll be ready to jump off some bridge, jump out of some window, because your life is wrapped up in that. But when you sit at the feet of Jesus, oh, you understand. You got that job. The Lord give you another one. The Lord giveth, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You won't be able to say that if you don't know how to sit at his feet. Job was able to say that because he understood what it meant to sit at the feet of Jesus. All the stuff was wiped out of Job's life. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, see, some of you who don't know how to sit at his feet, you said, the Lord take away. Let me jump out the window. Cursed be you, God. Why you let this happen to me? See, we got to understand what it means to sit at the feet of Jesus. This is key that we understand this. And see, what happens is when we sit at his feet, we understand that we're living for him, not for the job. We're living for him, not for the career. We understand what Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's what happens when we sit at his feet. Things get put in proper perspective. Asa, the psalmist in Psalm 73, says, truly the Lord is good. He said, but my foot almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, but when I went into the sanctuary, then I saw their end. when he comes into the sanctuary, he hears things from God's perspective. Then things get put in proper perspective. Things get put in right focus. That only happens when you sit at his feet. That only happens then. Jesus told Martha, one thing is needed, and that is sitting at his feet in worship. David understood this in Psalm 27, verse 4. He says, one thing I desire of the Lord, that what I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Notice, he says, one thing I desire of the Lord, that which I'm going to seek after. Watch this. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David said, there's one thing I'm going to seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The one thing that's needed is sitting at the feet of Jesus and worship and listening to his word like Mary did. Yes, we should serve. Yes, we need to serve the Lord. But our service to God is out of an overflow of our worship of him as we sit at his feet. A sign that we haven't been sitting at the feet of Jesus lately, we will serve the Lord and it'll be in anger and bitterness like Martha did. So if you find yourself serving and you are complaining and bitter and angry, you too, like Martha, are distracted and you need to refocus on serving the Lord, which means out of an overflow of you sitting at his feet. This is why we strongly urge everyone who serves here. It's great, amen, that you serve. Praise the Lord. But you must take a service where you come and you sit at his feet. And we had to do that because there are some people who say, okay, I'm serving the children's ministry. They'll come and serve over with the 2-year-olds and then they go home. We're like, oh no, we'd rather you let somebody else handle the 2-year-old. You come and sit at his feet. Because what happened is when you're giving out and not receiving, you're going to burn out. Because see, if you're not receiving, then we begin to question, then what are you giving them over there? You need to come here and see how God is speaking through the ministry here, how God is guiding us as a church, how God is leading us collectively as a body of believers. When you don't come and sit at his feet in this setting here, then you're clueless. You're clueless to try to teach them what God is speaking through this ministry here. You're clueless. You don't know because you haven't been here. So that's why we say, it's great that you serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. But you must come and sit at his feet. Because your service will be out of an overflow. I remember there was someone that was serving here. And they thought that we didn't notice. Well, should I say I didn't notice that they wouldn't come to church. Oh, I know who's here, who's not. Trust me when I say that. Yeah, a church of 2,500 people. I know who's here and who's not here. And all of a sudden, I just watched as weeks will go by and months will go by. And then all of a sudden, they start saying stuff. And we're like, what are you talking about? Well, you know, that was, isn't that what the church stands for? I said, no. I said, we haven't said that in about 5 or 10 years. See, she was out of touch with the ministry. Out of touch. So now she was saying stuff that was no longer the values of our ministry. It was the values about 10 years ago. That's done. That's old. She didn't know where we were because she wasn't here to sit at his feet. See, this is why we talk about this stuff. Service to God is just an overflow. It's just an overflow. Overflow of our worship of him. Notice the second part of verse 42. Notice it says, Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. And that's what it is. The good part is sitting at his feet. And keep in mind, never forget that our service is always an overflow. Always an overflow of our worship of him. And Mary has chosen the good part. Mary seems to always be at the feet of Jesus. 3 times we see her at his feet. In Luke 10, verse 39, she is at the feet of Jesus listening to his words. The second place we find her is in John 11:32. She is at the feet of Jesus sharing her broken heart as her brother Lazarus had died. Thirdly, we see her at the feet of Jesus in John 12, verse 3. She was pouring on him a very expensive perfume called spikenard, which was worth a year's salary. She was pouring it. They believe it was her dowry. She poured it on his feet. And her pouring it on his feet, she was saying, you know what? I don't need to try to tuck this away just in case this man doesn't take care of me. All I need is you, Jesus. I'm pouring it out as an offering to you. And we see her at the feet of Jesus. We can always find Mary at the feet of Jesus, no matter what was going on in her life. Where can people find you when things are going on in your life? When death comes your way, where can people find you? Mary was at the feet of Jesus. Where can people find you? In some bar, drinking your sorrows away? Or here at church? Sitting at his feet, listening to his word, receiving the comfort that can only come from the word of God. Being restored that can only come from Jesus Christ. He restores our soul, Psalm 23 says. But where can he find you? When things are going on in your life, where you end up tells a lot. Tells a lot about where your relationship with the Lord is. Would you end up, when things going on in your life, would you end up like Martha, just being busy, busy, doing a lot of things, trying to take your mind off of what is going on? Angry, bitter, worried, and troubled about many things. So often that's where people find themselves. That's why you came here today stressed out, because you don't understand the principle of what it means to sit at his feet. Mary always found herself at the feet of Jesus. No matter where we find her in the scriptures, she's at the feet of Jesus. The solution to being stressed out, we've been talking about it, is spending time in the presence of the Lord, sitting at his feet. It reminds me of what Acts 3:19 says. It's not on the screen for you note takers. It says that for us to repent and our sins may be blotted out, watch this, so that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. As we sit at his feet, those times of refreshing and being rejuvenated and being strengthened come from being in his presence. Why is it that sitting at the feet of Jesus, coming to church, listening to his word, is the first thing we cut out of our lives when stuff is going on? It seems like so often that we only come to church when things are going well. And then as soon as stuff starts happening in our lives, we don't see you. And then I see you at the mall, Sam's Club, Walmart. I was like, have I seen you lately? No, Pastor Tony, I've just been going through it. And why is it that this is the place we stop coming when we're going through it? And it seems like we only come when things are going well. We can put a smile on our face. But soon as tears get to flowing, this is the last place we come to. It's the first thing we cut out of our lives. And I don't get that. I don't get that about us. But it's the first thing we do. Mary, when death came her way, she was at the feet of Jesus. When something threatened her financially, she poured it on the feet of Jesus. Mary was a worshiper. And that time of refreshing came from being in the presence of the Lord. Where we end up when things are happening in our lives tells where our relationship with the Lord is. Too many of you need to exchange your churchianity for Christianity, a real relationship with him. Oh, you come to church only when times are good. When it's sunny outside. Soon as it rains, we don't see you. I remember talking to a pastor when I was gone last week. I said, things are really going well here. At your church, I said, because the church was pretty filled and it was raining today. Because I know how the fair weather Christians are. I know how they are. It only come out when it rains. And it's, when it's sunny and when it rains, don't see you. It's like, oh, it's some good sleeping weather, you know. It's raining, man. It's covered feeling good. Piece of work. We are a piece of work. We are. And where we end up when things are going on in our lives tells what our relationship with the Lord, it tells, it really tells. Where can people find you when things are going on? Will they find you at church and say, you know what? I know stuff is happening in their life. The test came back positive. I know that the person went on to be with the Lord, but I know where they can be found. You know what? You know, at church, they're going to be right there. Where can they find you? It tells where our walk is with the Lord. It really does. It really, really does. And sitting at the feet of Jesus is the cure. It's the cure. That's where the time of refreshing comes. That's when we see things from God's perspective. David said, but when I went into the sanctuary, that's where I saw their end. Oh, when I stay out of the sanctuary, my foot has slipped as I see the prosperity of the wicked. As I see those who are not walking with God, they're being prospered. And therefore, I'm stumbled by that. I don't understand. He said, but when I went into the sanctuary, oh, I can see what's going on now, God. I can see what you're doing. It's the goodness of God that leads one to repentance. And you trying to lead them to you through your goodness. Oh, okay, I got it. I got it. But when we stay out of the sanctuary, our foot will slip. We'll stumble. Let me conclude with this. As we have seen in the lives of these two sisters are the four signs of being stressed out, which are, number one, self-pity. Just feel sorry for yourself. She felt sorry for herself. Number two, anger. Number three, she began to question Jesus. Do you not care? And number four, worried and troubled. As we saw that the one solution to these things is sitting at the feet of Jesus, worshiping, listening to his word. We also saw that our service is just an overflow of us sitting at his feet. If we don't, we will get distracted. And we'll find ourselves angry, bitter, and frustrated with God and other people. If this is you, then you need to come today. Get that right with God. For many of you, you need to come in and begin a relationship or partnership with the Lord through salvation. You need to do that because you're stressed out. You stress. And we need to put away all these little cute sayings. Too blessed to be stressed. Stop. If you're too blessed to be stressed, guess what? You won't have to say it. You wouldn't have to say it. You know, it's like therapy for you. You know, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Okay. I got to remember that. Okay. It's like therapy for you. When you're too blessed to be stressed, you don't have to say it. It'll just show. It'll just show. All these cute little sayings, we need to just put that stuff away. Stop. Only Jesus can lead you like a good shepherd beside the still waters and the greener pastures. Only he can. And he is the only one, the Bible says, that can restore our souls. Psalm 23, and he shall restore our souls. He restores our souls. Come to him today. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He wants to bring rest to your soul. You need that rest today? Oh, you need that rest today. When we have rest of our souls, we won't get stressed. Oh, there'll be things that'll bother us here and there. But we won't live a life that is just stressed out. We won't. Because Jesus promises rest. Are you going to receive that rest today? It's offered to you free of charge as you come to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We pray, God, that you will continue to just work in our hearts and our lives. Draw people unto you. Lord, many of your people, Lord, they're here. They're stressed. They're burned out. They're angry and bitter about many things. And Lord, I just pray, God, that they will come to you and allow you to restore their souls. They will come to you, Lord, and allow you to refresh them by being in your presence. Lord, may your people come. Lord, there are those who are here who have not surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that they will begin a relationship, partnership with you today by repenting of their sin and confessing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Draw people unto you today in Jesus' name. Amen.